and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 445, the stanza 1 and 4, unto the hills I lift mine eyes, whence cometh all my aid, and the fourth, Jehovah will preserve thee when the waves of trouble roll. 1 and 4, 445. Congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Before the 12 articles of undoubted Christian faith, and afterwards, Lord's Day 23.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 103. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger for ever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord's Day 23. Question 59. What doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God, and an heir of eternal life. Question 60. How art thou righteous before God? Answer, only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ, even so as if I never had had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Question 61. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only.
Let's seek to face the Lord in prayer, the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, that thou would dwell among us as he who ministers. Exalt thyself, thy righteousness and mercy, thy glory and holiness, thy beauty and love for all thine own. But Lord, we ask that thou would extend the number to believe, that only trust in thee without works, even against their works. For thy righteousness, satisfaction, and holiness, that's in Christ Jesus, imputed, counted for on my account, as if I had never sinned, nor done any evil, as if I had never fallen in paradise. Who can extend that grace than only thee? And therefore we pray that thou would apply the truth to the hearts of the hearers, and again as confirmation to the souls of thy people, that thy glory might be seen, thy honor might be honored, and that a wonder of grace might shine upon us once more. Lord, we pray also for those who are mourning, the family Van Woerden, when tomorrow they have to bury a caring mother, and that's yours. She cared for a big family, children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Sometimes it was too much for her, too heavy. But she tried always to bring the load and the burden into thee. Remember our friend, his children, when he now all by himself has to travel along to that lasting eternity. Confirm grace to his soul and make him a witness to the family also tomorrow, that he shouldn't have closed lips and a condemned heart, but a free heart, and a solemn vow might be among them, the vow to honor thee and glorify thy holy name. Lord, remember those who are there, friends and family members, and those who don't know thee, business partners, others, or those who are in a way away from thee. Please turn them to thee, the children and grandchildren might get to know thy ways in the sanctuary. Open thereunto also to us this night the scriptures, remember us in mercy, and give us the liberty to believe. That's a gift. It's a gift from the Father who gives his Son. He grants them grace. And they receive it by a given faith. It's a gift. Like thy word says it. Be with us. Remember the sick and afflicted. Remember Bernard, especially when he tomorrow can go to the cemetery, and that there might be a connection. We have heard even later But give him, Lord, the comfort for his own soul. Although in bonds, outwardly, chained outwardly, that he might have the liberty in thee. For the word is without bonds. It's a word of liberty. It's a savior of liberty who releases the slaves and brings them to be a child of everlasting grace and love in Christ. Open there into the scriptures. Remember Gerrit Ohm in the mission work in Malawi, Suriname, China, and where it might be in the world, it's more and more tense. Even in China, they're breaking down the churches. Big churches. Crosses are not allowed to be seen anymore. And faith is a delusion, says Mr. He. There is no God. God, prove thyself. For thy own name's sake, to be God in China. That although all the powers of darkness are against thy people, thou art more, but faith overcometh the world. We pray also for the education of our children at schools, the teachers and the boards of the schools, the homeschoolers, mothers teaching their children. We pray, Lord, that it might be blessed, that the church might have a nursery where little children are educated, and that they might be used, the mothers, the teachers, the boards, to get them to know the Lord Jesus. Remember the churches around us and every minister who's called by their holy calling. Make him useful, and those who work among us, coming from the Netherlands, Lord, bless thy work, thy son, thy people, for thy own honor and name's sake. Forgive us our many sins, we are not worthy to be in thy presence, that only in Christ Jesus. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen. Congregation, the Lord's Day 23. First is, many say that here is spoken of the justification. It means that it might have faith in Christ, but not justified. For here it speaks about justification after that's spoken about Christ and faith. You might have a faith, but not a saving faith, a justifying faith. But that's not true. The Lord's Day 23 says, Peter's the Witter. And Peter de Witte was a minister in Hoorn, one of the first who explained the Heidelberg Catechism, widespread taught in those days. Peter de Witte was a minister in Hoorn, North Holland, and he explained the Heidelberg Catechism. Do you know what he says? He says in Lord's Day 23, the forgiveness of sins is confirmed, better explained. For in Lord's Day 7 is spoken of the forgiveness of sin. Shall I read it? After the law bringing you to the judgment and confirmation that your mouth might be stopped, but Lord's Day 7 speaks about the forgiveness of sins already. Are all men then as they perished and Adam saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Now, what's a true faith? That true faith is not only a certain knowledge. A certain knowledge. Whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed unto us in his word. But also an assured confidence. Not this. Not hope. You never know. No. An assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. That not only to others, but to me also. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God. Merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merit. Here a soul by a true faith is justified before God and assured. Then Christ is the way to the triune God, and then in the 12 articles, the triune God is explained in his works. God the Father. Christ leads to the knowledge of God his Father. Your Father. The names and the offices of Christ. Better explained. And then to the work of the Holy Ghost that seals faith to an assured confidence. That my sins are forgiven. So, the Lord's Day 23 is not the Lord's Day where you speak about justification, but about the confirmation. How am I justified? How am I just before God? Do you know why I say this? You can even read it in this answer. In this answer, several times the word still is used. In the Catholic Church, you became a saint with holy works. And that's attacked. A true Christian faith is always attacked. That's only by faith in Christ. You have to show it in your works. Now, what does then the Catechism teach against Rome, against the Anabaptists and others? It teaches here that I'm still inclined to all evil. Still inclined. As a sinner whose sins are forgiven. Still inclined to all evil. Isn't it? And have kept none of his commandments. Since grace, I have kept none of his commandments perfectly myself. And then God, notwithstanding, without any merit of me, but all your mere grace, grants, imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ, even so that sealed by the Spirit. As if I never had, as if I never had been fallen in paradise. And when I prepared it, I thought about a murderer. The Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me back in paradise. As if you had never sinned. Nor done any evil. Never sinned, nor committed any sin. And if I had fully accomplished, done, all that obedience which Christ accomplished did for me. And how do I receive it? Insomuch. And I already start to explain it. Insomuch doesn't mean, now if I have a little faith, I have a little of it. And if I have more faith, I have more of it. No. Insomuch is not a decree. Insomuch is yes or no. Yes or no. Insomuch. I embrace such a benefit. With faith, no. With a believing heart. I believe the forgiveness of sins. I believe God works that trust and knowledge in the hearts of his people. But let's first think, 444, 45 and 7, 444, 45 and 7, and the collection will be out. Sometimes it's thought and I won't go deeper on it, but sometimes it's thought that the justification in the conscience is only happening in the Lord's Day 23. But that's not true. The law precedes the Lord's Day 7. The law doesn't precede the Lord's Day 23, that's eternal life. So the justification in your conscience is happening in the Lord's Day 7. But in the Lord's Day 23, it's confirmed as a fruit of faith. And it's important to know these things. That in the Lord's Day 7, the church confesses that their sins are forgiven. Why I say this? Well, in the Lord's Day 4, it's really clear, or in 5, better even, the question 12. Sins then by the righteous judgments of God we deserve, temple and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? You see, that the mouth is stopped here. Judgment accepted, God honored, and Christ revealed in the next Lord's eyes as the mediator of righteousness, the mediator of grace, the mediator of holiness. Why is it then in the Lord's Day 23 that they just continue? Well, I said already that Pastor De Witte from Hoorn in 1654, one of the most important explanations of the Heidelberg Catechism, says it's only confirmation, explanation, more explained in the Lord's Day 23. And it says, how are you then, if you are righteous before God by faith, how are you then? I am now a saint, having no sinful thoughts anymore. I'm still inclined to all evil. Still ungodly. Repenting, not bettered, carnal, sold under sin, Romans 7. And my conscience still excuses me that I've sinned against all the commandments of God. That's God's people at heart. But then outside, notwithstanding, only the righteousness, the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is put on my account as if I had never sinned nor done any evil, as if I had never fallen in paradise, but are a new creature, all things made new. And congregation, that's important. So in the Lord's Day 23, it's opposing the Roman Catholic doctrines of merited works after grace. It's still Christ alone. Still Christ alone. The Roman Catholics said that the ceremonial works should be added to the works of Christ. That's eating and drinking, that's partaking the Lord's Supper. That's a ceremonial work. No. That's only by faith confirmed by the Holy Ghost and by the Word in your heart. The evangelicals say that evangelical good works should be added to the righteousness of Christ. This is what I'm saying. They say evangelical good works, following him, should be added to the righteousness of Christ. No! It doesn't need to. I'm in Christ, righteous before God. And God's people know it. And if you don't know it, God gave it to you to know it. So it defends here Romans 7. After that is explained the triune God in the work of salvation. It defends it to myself even. For I'm always attacked and I think, if you're a Christian, how these evil thoughts are still in your heart. That vile lusts, that rotten me, is that now a Christian? Yes, it is. For, and therefore it starts so nice, Lord's Day 23. But what does it profit now? So that's the fruit of grace in the triune God. What does it profit now thee that thou believest all this? That I hope to be known, that I am righteous in Christ. Before God, probably not before man. David wasn't righteous before man. But he was righteous before God in Christ. They accused him always. High minded. He won 10,000 soldiers, Philistines, and Saul only 1,000. And God knew him, humbling him. And we are. Really, my dear, it's outside of yourself. God comes here to be righteous before him. Outside of myself and yourself. In Christ. Before God. And an heir of eternal life. Well, John 3:15. I should prove it out of the text of the scripture to be experienced in the hearts of his children, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. What is last question answer and question? They said, what's eternal life? That the beginning of eternal joy is felt in my heart. If you believe in Christ, you have the beginning of eternal joy in God felt in your heart. And the fool will come. If it doesn't start here, you don't have it. So the Lord's Day 23 is not preceded by law, it's preceded by the work of a triune God. God is my Father. Christ's names and offices and the application work of the Holy Ghost. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life, resurrection of the dead, and eternal life. That's the order. Well, congregation, what does it mean then? In Christ. Therefore, in the 12 articles, you don't believe Christ, you believe in God, in Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. A true faith is uniting, being made one with him. I am in him and he in me. Faith unites. makes the bride and the bridegroom one. He in me, and I in him. He covers me in the sight of his Father as the new Adam, as a new creature. When he covers me as a new creature, I am in him a new creature. A new creature, as if I had never sinned nor done any evil. Christ's work is not a hard work, not a 99% work. I am a full sinner and a full saved sinner. But outside of myself, in Christ, well, in Romans 7, you have to be engrafted. It means cut off from your first Adam, engrafted in the wings of Jesus to be made one with him. And it continues in explaining it, Lord's Day 23. Because the Roman Catholic Church say that if you're a Christian, you get holy works, and you start to be a better man, and you have not that inclined devilly thoughts anymore. Wrongly! And I've said many times, we have a congregation, if I hope it is, of saved sinners. Saved sinners. No more, no less. Of whom I am, says Paul, not was, the chiefest of all. But that have to acknowledge. Because you started your fall in hubris, high-mindedness, and you won't be a better man after grace. But I tell you this, you have a better and glorious Savior after grace who is faithful when even you are not faithful. To him be the glory. To him alone. And dear congregation, nothing of you counts to be a merit or a betterment in the sight of God. Only Christ counts, beloved bridegroom of the bride. First, so therefore in the Lord's Day 23, you were here, and I said it already, still. That's also the devil attacks you. He is always the accuser of the brethren. He says to the Father, if he was a Christian, why has he this still? And congregation, to be honest here, this is always an affliction. And if it's not an affliction, you don't know yourself even. It's always hard. It makes you evangelical repentance when you sin against this love and this unconformity to Christ. It humbles you. And if grace is poured in your soul in Christ, do you know what you say? I am not worthy of the least of thy benefits. But thou art worthy to receive all glory. In congregation, Luther declined the merited good works. Rome says that after grace you can produce good works, merits. But Luther, out of the scripture, proved, and that's the experience of the church, that we don't have good works after grace. No, not one. Inward inclined to all evil lusts. And outward transgressed. For the law is spiritual, against all the commandments still of God. And now I know there is objection. A high-minded man in our midst says, no, a Christian shouldn't be like it. But I tell you, a Christian is like it. Carnal, sold under sin. That old, vile body of that old man is a burden to me daily and nightly. Who shall deliver me of the body of sin? I thank God by Jesus Christ. Do you know how you delivered of it? In your cemetery, when it's buried, and the new man will arise conformed to the image of Jesus. Why I say this is because in our legal attitude we can hardly live with it to be still a sinner. Do you know why not? Because we don't trust the full satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ. It takes all our honor away. And it honors only Christ and the God-given righteousness, the benefits of Christ. And congregation, that's a hard struggle. I thought I would improve. But he improves and not me. I know the struggle and it hurts me. But he will take away all my tears when I enter through the gate of righteousness with a very soft cloth. He says, I am your salvation. And you are mine, given by my Father. I paid your penalty, covered your righteousness and holiness to be a child of God. Well, how do we get it? Only by faith. Or faith alone. Outside of the works. Now what's faith? Faith is trust. Knowledge and trust. It's a gift. God gives Christ and you trust in Him. Know in Him. Trust in Him. Therefore the gospel has to be preached to convicted sinners, that they might, outside of themselves, trust. Now what's trust? Tell me what's trust. Trust is resting on Jesus, on His shoulders, in His arms, at His bosom. For righteousness' sake. So the center thing of faith is trust. Knowledge, sure. He has to be preached. And he has to be known by revelation. But the main core of faith is trust. There's another thing in the Bible, Pastor, that's assent. It means it's not only for others, but also for me. That's trust. Faith in Christ. So that, though my conscience accuse me. What's your conscience? The conscience is an awoke conscience. When God works in your soul, he awakes your conscience. In congregation, although the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, your conscience is accused by your old rotten nature. What's my conscience? Conscience is a faction of my soul. It's the judge in me, God. Conscience means I know it together with God. God knows it, who I am after grace, and you know it. I've said once that I had to visit a house visitation in Drenthe, and the man didn't allow me in the house. He said, yeah, we made an appointment for house visitation, but you can't come. I said, why not? He said, you tell all about me from the pulpit. And that's not nice. So you're not welcome. I laughed at my elder and said, I'm happy to go. When you're under the servants, God tells all about your conscience. And he knows you in the inner man. For the law is spiritual, and I'm carnal, sold under sin. Some people say, this pastor is not allowed to be on my feasts. Good. I won't come. Why not? Yeah. I can tell it. So Christ isn't welcome on your feasts, and his servants are not? No? I know why. They are not conformed to your faith. In your trust and your gracious Savior. Pastor, you're not welcome in my bookkeeping. Oh no. No. You should know everything. You bring it always on the pulpit. So Christ is not welcome in your bookkeeping? Your business, but he knows about it, and who can stand? Then only in Christ, as a sinner repenting, hating sin, loving righteousness. That's a fruit of grace by faith. They've grossly transgressed. Yeah, but now since I'm having grace, I'm not transgressing so much. Grossly transgressed. Grossly transgressed. Grossly transgressed. I have grossly transgressed. Now then you can be saved. I have, since I'm saved, grossly transgressed. God knows, and you know. You know it. David knew it. You know it. Solomon knew it. Paul knew it. For God knows it. Conscience. All the commandments, the seventh and the fourth, the first and the tenth, I coveted my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's farm, my neighbor's business, my neighbor's house, my neighbor's animals. No, I didn't. You're lying. You're lying. still lying. And if you're a child of God, you're standing here with tears. Say, Lord, thou knowest who I am. And wrong me. Doing new things which I shouldn't. We call that evangelical repentance, hating sin and loving righteousness. By knowing my transgressions in the sight of a good and gracious God. How can I sin against the gracious God? How can I sin, miserable man that I am, against the gracious God? Yeah, the pastor, this is for the first justification. I've explained. This is confirmation of the justification. How you are after your sins are forgiven you. I know why people say this, eh? Then they say we can go far, and ultimately in 23 we have to experience it. But not everyone experienced this because they are justified from eternity. Nonsense! Nonsense. My heart is inclined to all evil. I always bend the wrong side. There are two sides, and always, do you have the problem too? Always. Your father says you shouldn't do it, Tim. You still. Why do you? God says you shouldn't do it. There is some, for the old man is an enemy of God. That's not an excuse. That's a horrible sin. That sin against grace. Worthy of repentance. And asking, Lord, forgive me. When shall I be delivered of this body of sin, carnal soul under sin? Do you sigh under yourself? That's grace. Do you look for the day where you will sin never anymore? That's longing for a better and an eternal home. Grace alone. Let's sing 143 and 4. 143 and 4. That's our side, now God's side. Notwithstanding. Although all these things are in my life testifying against me, God notwithstanding. It doesn't withstand restraining God. That's the wonder. Notwithstanding, God, without any merit, of mine, but only of mere grace, only grace, full grace, only grace. And then listen, two things, grants and imputes to me. First he gives it, then he puts it on my account. Impute is put it on my account. Reckons it unto me to be mine. That's imputation. So I am not, but I am in Christ. I am not. He is it. And I trust in him alone. Given to me, grant. The only in the Puritan tradition and Bible tradition, is the only one. Christ is not given generally. Many say it. That Christ is given to the church. Generally, that's not true. Grants to me personally. It's personally given to me. Christ is given to me personally. Out of the hands of the judge. To me. Yeah? Not generally by preaching. But under preaching, God the judge gives me his son. Revealed to me, given to me. Do you know it? That he's given to you? And when he grants it, he imputes to me all of Christ. What is it? Perfect satisfaction. He has paid all my debts by his precious blood. He paid it from the past, from the present, and from the future with one sacrifice. He didn't pay it step by step. He has paid it all at once with one payment when he cried out, "It's finished." You think if Christ has paid it at all, you need to pay some? That's dishonoring my beloved Savior. I hate you for it if you do it. If you want to bring some merits in the weigh scale and be a so-called nice, good looking Christian. Nonsense. You don't know yourself, you don't know God. You don't know your old nature that's enmity against God. It doesn't subdue and can't subdue to the law of God. Pastor, I don't want to hear all these evil things about me. You know they are true. The only thing, you have a stiff neck like we have heard this morning. Don't want to bend. Don't want to give in. That's a wonder if God is stronger than you and overwhelms you, conquers you, subdues you to grace, to law, and gospel. What does he give? The perfect satisfaction. The righteousness that is the obedience to the law Christ obeyed the law. Do you know why he did it? He became a man to obey the law because no one obeyed the law. His hand provided salvation. And he obeyed the law. Therefore he is, says Paul, my righteousness before God. He obeyed for me the law. Perfectly. Perfectly. And if he did it for me, what do I need to do then to be perfect in the sight of God? Tell me. Tell me then. What do I need to add to it or subtract from it? Tell me then. Yeah, you have to prove your conversion. Oh, poor soul. Tomorrow you fall. I've told again, Gatsby, I love Gatsby. A straight Baptist. And Gatsby said, I'll never be drunk again. And an exercised Christian said, probably this night, boasting I. And he wasn't drunk that same night. For he hadn't eaten and took a little spirit. And there he went. He says, I'll never say it again, for I don't know what I am able to do in myself. Therefore, those who fear walk in his ways, fear to sin. If you don't fear by grace to sin, you will fall in sin. For fear is the power. Out of the fear of the heart, the childlike fear, proceeds a Christian life. But that's the work of the Spirit, not your work. And holiness. What's holiness? Christ and God is holy. I heard that there was a discussion at the women's meeting about this text, be holy for I am holy. And I think people spoke about what Jesus would do. That's what we have to do. Is that the context, the explanation of this text? Do you think so? A congregation, that's not it. In Hebrews 2, verse 11, it says it. For he that sanctifies makes holy, and he and they who are sanctified. So there is one who sanctifies, and there are people who are sanctified. Here? Are our one, that's Christ. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them his brethren, as if he had never done any evil nor any wrongdoing. Holiness is given to them to be brethren of the Lord Jesus. And you can't be a brother of the Lord Jesus if you're not holy. But he who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified, Hebrews 2, are all of one, that's Christ. And they are holy ones in him. Counted to be holy. Children, holy children of God. Now, Pastor, now you're preaching the gospel too widely. Now, if it's not this, it's nothing. But it is this. And God's people know what I'm saying. When they were saved from wrath, satisfied by the satisfaction of Christ, they became new creatures as if they had never sinned or done any evil. Do you know the day that the sun was shining anew, that the burden of your sin was taken from your shoulders? and that you had the desire to be with Jesus. That new day, when everything passed away, and all got to be new. But my dear congregation, that's a gift. I can teach it to you, I can apply it to you, I can give it to you. It's a free gift of God, a work of the Spirit in your soul. In due time, in the twinkling of an eye, when all things are passed away and all things are new, you'll never forget it. It will be attacked. The devil says, oh man, if you were really a Christian, you should prove it. And I've tried to prove it. The moment I proved it, I fell. For I didn't rest at the bottom of my Savior. I wanted again to do it myself. Poor me. There's also His holiness is a gift. Therefore He calls them saints. Your sinner are my saint. You're holy. Me. You're ready to be in the holy presence of God. Everlastingly. As a child. A brother of the Lord Jesus. Holiness. And then, how do you get it? Step by step, Pastor. No. No. Yeah, but it says, in so much. As I embrace such a benefit with a believing heart. It's not my head, it's my heart that trusts. Love and trust. An act in believing. Not only a gift of faith, but a faith that believes. The hour I first believed. And my heart believes. Heart trusts. A heart trusts. But it's not steps-wise. It's yes or no, white or black, true or false. If I don't embrace it with a believing heart, I have no part in it. It's a fruit of faith. But some say to me, today you believe it and tomorrow you don't know it anymore. Nonsense. It's an unreproachable gift. God doesn't take faith away from you. Do you think He gives it to you and tomorrow He says it's mine and oh, tomorrow the day after He gives it again? Do you believe it? I don't believe it. It's unreproachable. It's the same. Might be low. Might be attacked. Might be reproached. I had an old Christian in the Netherlands. She spoke about that hour that she first believed. And she said, but I don't know anymore. And people say it's not true. I said, dear, tell me. Did God lay a bottom in your soul? She said, yes, Pastor. He laid a bottom in my soul. I know what He did. I said, dear. But do you know what the church today does? Bring them newly under bondage, like Galatians, the Romans. I said, not enough. You have to prove, you have to do. You have to be a doer. And I'm not saying there are no fruits, there are true fruits of faith. The uniting faith brings the Spirit of Christ into your soul, and He produces love. Charity, goodness, mercy. That's not me. No other me.
that are the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the law, not of the works of the flesh. There are no good works of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, charity, benevolence, love, peace. With a believing heart. So you must believe. Yeah, you must. But faith is not a condition. It's not a work. Have you ever read, I hope you did, The Marrow of Modern Divinity of Fisher? Have you read it? If you never have read it, you should read it. He was the teacher of Thomas Boston and those faithful Puritans in England. He was denounced because of antinomianism, but restored by the Synod. They didn't even understand what he was preaching. But he says that in the church there are neonomians. They make of the law, they make of the gospel a law. You must. And they think by must you can believe. No. Faith proceeds from the promises of God, not from the law, from the preaching of the gospel, not from your gospel duties. They bring them newly under the law, compelling. Yeah, but the Heidelberg or the Dutch canon say that the gospel has to be preached with the duty of repentance and faith. But listen, do you understand it? Every command says feature in the New Testament, even for faith and repentance, has one purpose, to say that you have no faith and not repented. Why? To beg for it, that God might grant it to you. And if you teach different, you're an idolizer. And make of the gospel a duty. For it's not for the worthiness of faith that God saved you. It's not the dime to get a dollar. It's even not a cent to get a salvation. It's free. It's preached. It's freely out of mere grace given to you. Also that faith. In the hour, you've got to believe. Dominate Dumasie said, and if you get that faith that's lighter than lifting an handkerchief from the table, so light is it to get it. It's lighter than lifting an handkerchief from the table. So light is it. Is it? Yes, it is. It's hard to be there, to come there. But when you're there, it's impossible not to believe. It's a gift. And I don't know, and I didn't know where to get it. He gave it to me suddenly, unexpectedly, deserving eternal wrath, embracing his righteousness. He gave me the righteousness of Jesus, set me free from all corruption, all judgment. And therefore the last question, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but only because of the satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ, is my righteousness before God, and I cannot receive them. Faith is an instrument to receive what God gives, and I cannot receive and apply, for faith applied it, makes it to me. I believe in Jesus Christ. The same to myself
any other way than only by faith or by faith alone as an ungodly outside of my works. 11, for he first loved you. And God the judge granted you in Christ to be a new creature, as if you had never sinned, nor done any evil, even not fallen in paradise. A new Adam in the living Savior, to whom I belong and he belongs to me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and I ask thee that thou would apply it to hypocrites, those who don't want to be what they are, always better than the world, but thy people is worse than the world. They know to whom they sinned and have sinned, and the world doesn't even know. Blind to the blind. Have mercy upon us this night. Apply it to the souls, Lord, that it might be for one or more tonight. I believe in the Lord Jesus alone to be my righteousness, satisfaction, and holiness. And I am holy in him by grace alone. Remember us next week, catechism, classes, schools, works, jobs, godly business. We don't need to be all ministers. We need to be heaven and the Telem at home, where we teach the people who work for us. And if we don't, how guilty are we? Grant us also in the congregation to love and to be loved by thee, to care. Remember the family from Wooden, and that love may proceed out of thy good pleasure for those who have sinned and deserve the wrath of God. We ask it for thy name's sake only. Amen. Let's sing 416, 4 and 7. 416, 4 and 7. Where we will sing together. From the land beyond the Jordan, beyond the Jordan, I bewail my misery. But also said, O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why this quieted in me, and what's following? that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.